that was a very severe weather ice storm, weather power outage, weather incident that we experienced for 2 days and some 4 hours in addition to those 2 days, a total of about 2 days and 4 hours. And it was the ice on the trees that caused some damage to certain trees in the neighborhood, including some of mine, of course. And I showed the pictures of the ice storm before with the ice on the trees, and then what happened before the melt was thoroughly finished, how the trees crashed to the ground in the case of quite a few of my trees, actually. So, we don't want that to prevent us from making our broadcast. So I learned how to use my generator during that time to power my internet. And we just had another outage today, a moment ago. So I had to restart. And before that, I failed to my first attempt. I didn't get the audio again because I've got it set up probably with the wrong mic. Because I'm not always remembering to plug in my headphone mic, earphone mic, I should say. But anyway, it's up to Jehovah whether we will succeed at producing this particular video. There's no question there are a lot of things that can prevent it. So today's study, Little Children, is from the Wild Road Ahead to History article by yours truly. It's from Part 1, Chapter 6, Paragraph 2. Closely known dates for the coincidence of Thoth 1, or the Egyptian New Year, with the rising of Sirius Sothis, the dog star of constellation Canis Major, in 139 CE and 1324 BCE, definitely imply that the beginning date of the Egyptian calendar equals 1324 plus 1460 equals approximately 2780 BCE. A date 1460 years before that would be possible also, but rendered moot by the global deluge of 3282. The Blessed Genealogy dates the Noachian deluge to 3282 BCE in harmony with Bible genealogy and the Greek Septuagint. Note that dates lower than 2780 for this deluge would render the 2780 calendar start moot, since it is connected with early Egypt and Nimrod after the flood. It is from the Bible that we get the information about the first nation after the flood, presided over by the hero or rebel Nimrod in the land of Shinar, now Iraq. Genesis chapters 10 and 11 tell us the genealogy, and logic would dictate that some generations would be required for the growth of the population after global destruction, an exponential growth over the centuries. Before post-diluvial Egypt could begin, the precursory Tower of Babel was undertaken, and this failed. We have discussed these things at length without much conclusive result, noting that Chinese mythology dates the reign of Yan Di to 2737 BCE, the same century from which the Egyptian calendar is now proved to originate with high probability, as does the Septuagint's Babel. So, even the Chinese mythology, as we talked about, and we haven't yet covered it, but you're free to read it and read about that in the article, The Ark of Urartu. It confirms this same dating for these events in the 28th century BCE, 2737 being a date in Chinese mythology for the reign of Yan Di. They even give the dates in Chinese mythology. No other mythology that we know of gives dates, but the Chinese mythology does. And this Chinese mythology gives us some understanding of what was happening at the time of the Tower of Babel. If you read the article, Ark of Urartu. But for now, we're just studying this article. But because we have these correspondences between the different things that are happening here, that we know about, certain things that we do know about, we don't know everything, certainly, and that's why I made the comment here that we have not had much conclusive result. It's difficult to draw conclusions on too many things because we don't have unlimited information. So we're doing the best we can, is what that says. But it's remarkable the agreement that we get between the Greek Septuagint of the Bible record and these other evidences of the Egyptian calendar and the Chinese mythology and how it lines up so well with the dates and with regard to the dates of those things, how it makes sense. It makes some sense, which we don't see in any other chronology. We don't have that understanding like that with such logic that prevails. Apparently only in the Blessed Genealogy does it prevail. That's apparently what we're seeing. That's why I was so convinced that I had to write about this. I was so inspired and passionate about the work I was doing and the articles I was writing about this subject, because there is no other chronology of the world. There isn't one. It's just not there. And more importantly, one that's consistent with the Bible record. That's just not possible for most of the chronologies that we see in the world. And yet, the Bible is, we know, called the Word of God. We know it should be the truth, and it is the truth for the believers. So when we look at now, let's turn to our Bible study for today, shall we, little children? I want to talk about patronization compared to encouragement. If we tell somebody they're right, as opposed to how do we encourage somebody? You know, how do we tell them that we want them to do more work? If we tell them they're right, does that encourage them? And so that's the question. But I think it's answered really well by this principle in Proverbs. That's why I wanted to share this. It says in Proverbs 26 and 6, or 26 and 5, actually. Proverbs 26 and 5. Answer someone stupid according to his foolishness, that he may not become someone wise in his own eyes. In other words, it's difficult for somebody to believe that he is right when somebody else is telling him he's right. That makes him question whether he's right or not. It doesn't encourage him at all. It does the opposite. And that is the difference between patronizing and encouraging. If we patronize somebody, it's not going to make them feel that they're all the more right in what they're doing. It's going to make them question, well, maybe I'm not as right as I thought because other people are telling me I'm right, and maybe they have some other understanding. I know they don't agree with me on everything, you know, so maybe they're telling me I'm right, maybe I'm not right because they don't agree with me on certain other things. It causes a lot of questions if somebody tells you you're right. So that is something that we can learn from Proverbs. It's very powerful. The power of Scripture is, of course, it is known. It's well known how powerful Scripture is. It changes lives. It has the power to change people's lives. And the Proverbs have this ability to give us logical reasoning and to empower us to be not just morally stronger, but logically stronger in our reasoning powers. Now, in the book of Genesis, our reading for today, little children, is Genesis 39. As for Joseph, he was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, a court official of Pharaoh, the chief of the bodyguard, an Egyptian, got to buy him from the hand of the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. But Jehovah proved to be with Joseph, so that he turned out a successful man and came to be over the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master got to see that Jehovah was with him, and that everything he was doing, Jehovah was making turn out successful in his hand. And Joseph kept finding favor in his eyes and waited upon him continually, so that he appointed him over his house. And all that was his he gave into his hand. And it followed that from the time he appointed him over his house and in charge of all that was his, Jehovah kept blessing the house of the Egyptian due to Joseph. And Jehovah's blessing came to be upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Finally, he left everything that was his in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what was with him at all, except the bread he was eating. Moreover, Joseph grew to be beautiful in form and beautiful in appearance. Now, after these things, it came about that the wife of his master began to raise her eyes toward Joseph and say, "Lie down with me." But he would refuse and would say to his master's wife, "Here my master does not know what is with me in the house, and everything he has given into my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I am, and he has not withheld from me anything at all except you, because you are his wife. So how could I commit this great badness and actually sin against God?" So it turned out that as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he never listened to her to lie alongside her to continue with her. But it happened that on this day, as other days, he went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there in the house. Then she grabbed hold of him by his garment, saying, "Lie down with me." But he left his garment in her hand and took to flight and went on outside. So it occurred that as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, that he might flee outside, she began to cry out to the men of her house and to say to them, "Look, he brought to us a man, a Hebrew, to make us a laughing stock. He came to me to lie down with me, but I began to cry out at the top of my voice." And it followed that as soon as he heard that I raised my voice and began crying out, he then left his garment beside me and took to flight and went on outside. After that, she kept his garment laid up beside her until his master came to his house. Then she spoke to him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came to me to make me a laughing stock." But it followed that as soon as I raised my voice and began to cry out, he then left his garment beside me and went fleeing outside. The result was that as soon as his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "Like this and this your servant did to me," his anger blazed. So Joseph's master took him and gave him over to the prison house, the place where the prisoners of the king were kept under arrest, and he continued there in the prison house. However, Jehovah continued with Joseph and kept extending loving kindness to him and granting him to find favor in the eyes of the chief officer of the prison house. So the chief officer of the prison house gave over into Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison house, and everything that they were doing there, he proved to be the one having it done. The chief officer of the prison house was looking after absolutely nothing that was in his hand, because Jehovah was with Joseph, and what he was doing, Jehovah was making it turn out successful. That's the end of Genesis chapter 39. Now, before we have another power failure, I think I should end the study, if possible, because I think they have continually, the day after a power failure, they might have to switch over their main circuits or something that they've set up temporarily. That's why we had a power failure today. It might have been scheduled, but they didn't warn us about it. So today's April 8th, 2023. It's 20:01 hours. And for Ward Green, it's Live Dusty and Talk Fibby saying, "I love you very much. Have a great day, and bye for now."